You wake up, you do your normal thing, you get ready for work, you do your day. Then, out of the blue, you get that dreaded phone call. The one that changes your life forever. It forces you to step back and figure out your new game plan. Want to know how to thrive in challenging times and live an epic life? Keep listening. Hello and welcome to Sailing Through Life. I'm Lori, your host and a friend on this journey. Join me as I share conversations that give you hope, passion, and vision to live a more fulfilled life, even when going through some of life's most challenging times. Discover new ways to focus on your health and well-being through modifying your habits and self-care routines and improving your mindset. Create the life you desire by finding the positive in life and realizing the strength and resilience you have inside. This supportive community will inspire you through the life experiences of my guests, as well as hearing my own crazy, wonderful adventure. Set sail with me on this journey to health, happiness, and living your dreams. Let us show you how as you sail through life. Welcome aboard. Life challenges us sometimes to an extreme. What you choose to do in response can make all the difference. Join me on this endeavor as I discover new ways to live your best life. Thank you to all of you for listening today. Sharing the show with others and making a contribution financially will help us to reach more listeners. Feel empowered. Find your resilience even through the storms of life. Check out sailingthroughlifepodcast.com to learn more.
And then all of a sudden I got a call on a Friday afternoon that Skylar, my youngest daughter, who had been down in South America, had been crushed by a boulder. And it felt like this perfect storm of really negative emotions. And yet, what I realized, the worst feeling of all of it was feeling powerless to help my daughter. I realized that I had zero control over the outer game things. One thing that I really was starting to learn to do really well, and that was play a mean inner game.
Meredith Alexander got that terrifying call. Today, she believes that it's thanks to these impossible boulders that ordinary lives can become epic lives. Meredith is a best-selling author, motivational speaker, and coach. She'll be sharing some really powerful tools that you'll be able to start using today to discover your own epic story and uncover your inner narratives for a thriving life. Hi, Meredith. Thank you so much for being here.
Super excited to join you, Lori. So thanks for having me.
There are many topics that we could cover, but I think for what we're trying to talk about today, the most important is how we can thrive in challenging times to live an epic life. So I appreciate your story and I look forward to getting into this conversation with you.
Well, I'm excited to share this with your listeners because yes, I think that we're really at a critical point right now where it can feel overwhelming by the volume of things that feel like they're happening to us. And what I've really discovered through some of my own things that could have been tragedy is that at some level, we really have to ask ourselves the question of, are we in control of how we experience our life, or is what we are experiencing controlling us? And that can be the pivotal differentiating factor in how we show up and how we choose to live.
Absolutely. Yes. 100% agree on that, because you can get sucked up into something before you know it. It is up to us to learn skills and tools to keep with us, to help us through those challenging moments. So that's why you're here. You're going to give us all the goods today.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
So now we have to establish why you're here. What happened in your life to sort through all this, to figure all this out so that you can present it to other people?
Sure. You know, well, that's actually a fascinating question, because I think sometimes we look for these big epiphanies in our lives, these big breakthrough moments, when, at least in my own experience, and now from having worked with literally hundreds of clients, it really is the compilation of our life story that creates the masterpiece. And the way that it's connected for me really shows up akin to the metaphor of really stepping outside your front door on one of those beautiful mornings where it's all dewy and gorgeous and green. And you take one more step and all of a sudden there's this massive spider web that one step earlier you had no idea was there. Mm-hmm. And now it just unfolds and it's gorgeous. And really for me, that's exactly the way it unfolded. I would say that I had always considered myself a happy person per se, but there, I kept feeling like I was getting hit after hit after hit in my life. Whether it was being very, very unhappy in a prep school, feeling very alone, very isolated, like I didn't belong, searching for the relationship that would make me feel loved and feel important and significant. And that didn't seem to work either, going through most of my life as a single mom, even in a couple of abusive relationships and struggling to raise my three children as a mompreneur, mm-hmm. feeling like I could never be good enough, that I was failing at everything. But ironically, right below that level of self-doubt and fear and anguish was this questing to figure it out, to fix it. So I started really being drawn to study how some people could face these overwhelming challenges in their mm-hmm. life. And unlike those who end up finding excuses or doling out blame or being crushed, they emerged as bigger, bolder versions of themselves. So the big question was, what's the difference? How did they do that? Yeah. And some of them end up not only inspiring the rest of us, but they authentically seem to actually love their life. So mm-hmm. everything came to a head, as you know, Lori, when I thought that I'd finally gotten through the single momdom. In other words, all three of my children were now graduated. My youngest daughter had graduated from Yale. My two oldest children were doing amazing things professionally and personally. And then all of a sudden, I got a call on a Friday mm-hmm. afternoon that Skylar, my youngest daughter, who had been down in South America on a fellowship from Yale, actually, just randomly out of nowhere had been crushed by a boulder.
Oh my gosh.
And was not expected to live. So clearly that's not the call that you're expecting to get at 3:15 in the afternoon in the middle of your busy season on a Friday in February. And, you know, I won't kid you, my first thought was, oh my gosh, I'm not worthy of being her mom in this. I don't know. I don't speak Spanish. This happened in Colombia. I don't, you know, how much is it going to cost? I mean, it's it's tragic that when things like this happen, one of the first things you think is, oh my God, I'm not wealthy enough for this. You
know, really.
How can I help her? How can I give her everything I want? But the truth is, Lori, that I got on that plane as probably a woman who was filled with self-doubt, lacking confidence, feeling like I wasn't worthy, that there was some incredible flaw. I should have been so much further along in my life, et cetera, et cetera. And it felt like this perfect storm of really negative emotions. And yet, at 30,000 feet, it's a real great place to ask yourself some really life-changing, important questions. And mm-hmm. that big question for me was, what is the worst of all of these horrible emotions? Because mind you, this boulder had cracked open her skull, crushed her lungs, fractured her spine, snapped her right thigh, and pulverized her left ankle. So I was really being prepared that most likely I was going to be bringing her body home, right? And yet what I realized, the worst feeling of all of it was feeling powerless to help my daughter. And that was even bigger than the rage. That was bigger than this isn't fair, that I'm not worthy, all those other things. But was, yes, but those emotions do not help your daughter. They don't help Skylar. What, if anything, can I do? And so as I sat there, I realized that I had zero control over the outer game things. Definitely was not a neurosurgeon or could not roll back the hands of time. But one thing that I really was starting to learn to do really well, and that was play a mean inner game. And so I began to really ask myself some powerful questions and say, this is either true, this stuff that I've been reading about, whether it was law of attraction, which I like to look at the word attraction as actually a contraction for several words, of the law of attracting the right action. So the law of attraction.
I like that. Yeah. Right?
Thank you. And so I really committed in that moment to implement, and I was going to discover if I was going to play this inner game like I had never played it before. And from that moment, it was really as if things immediately began to shift. And by beginning to apply the inner game, and what I mean by that, it's not just mindset. It definitely, I've always said that learning to play the inner game to win is definitely not about, quote unquote, looking on the bright side. Because if you think about it, when you're, quote unquote, trying to look on the bright side, where are you really focused? You're focused on this big looming dark side. You just don't want to look at it. So I had to authentically ask new questions. I had to authentically find the thoughts that would help me inch my way from total grief and despair beyond belief that there was a possibility, because there's still a crack in that. It had to be a place of calm and, dare I even use this word, happy, knowing that Skylar was going to be fine, whatever the new fine would look like, even if that meant that she lived on for me as a, you know, what we call memory, right? And I was the one to carry on a legacy for her. So it was a real life-changing coming together for me that just set this whole chain of developments in motion. And like I said, immediately we began seeing things that were medically impossible. They became a reality for us. And I can't tell you how many times either the doctors in Colombia or ultimately in Miami, where we were able to get her airlifted to, would pull me into the nurse's station and say, look at this. I realize you probably don't know what you're seeing, but what you're seeing is medically impossible. And if it wasn't you guys, the miracle family, we would think that there is something wrong with a machine.
Isn't that incredible? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I do want to be really clear that never am I implying that, you know, what I did with my inner game or that, you know, mindset alone saved, you know, saved my daughter's life, because clearly the doctors really worked some magic. But what I came to know, and again, not simply believe, know, was that when we commit to figuring out what that epic version of ourself really is, and when we dare to commit to show up consistently as that epic version of ourselves, we tap into a different kind of magic that really sets the stage and allows us the possibility of achieving things that previously might have felt impossible. And so that is that belief, that lesson from the boulder is really what created the momentum that allowed mm-hmm. me to move into the space where I became Skylar's 24/7 caregiver. I continue in that role today. She's improving, but she still is not independent. But also to have had the opportunity now to have coached hundreds of clients one-on-one and really igniting and unleashing that epic version of themselves and what that looks like, speaking to teams as a whole about igniting that version. And it has, in the process, helped me really discover what I believe is my calling. Even now at 62 years old, I feel in many ways more alive than I felt when I was in my 30s.
Well, good for you. I mean, that's a big space to cover, because you started off in such a place of fear and human nature kicks in. We go into autopilot sometimes when we get that initial bad news and to overcome that, what you were able to accomplish to shift over to a whole different way of thinking and to catch yourself, that's the important part of this, you know, this whole journey you were on, is you were able to stop what was happening in your mind of the negative self-talk and really shift it over to what is important and getting focused back on that. And that is the part that it needs to be for front and center when you have this situation come up, because time is of the essence. Sometimes you have to make quick decisions. You have to analyze a lot. You have a lot in front of you and you have to get clarity right now.
Well, I love that. And Lori, I think those are such important, you know, points and details. And one thing that I also would want to spotlight is that I don't believe that I could have responded that way had I not had the other emotionally heart-wrenching experiences early in my life. So in other words, the intensity of those moments, I had no idea why I was going through those moments at the time. I was having trouble forgiving them, feeling gratitude. I knew in my head I should feel gratitude, but it's incredibly difficult. You know, if you're someone who's listening to this right now and you're going through some kind of abuse or difficulty, it's really hard to emotionally feel like you can let an experience or let someone what feels like off the hook, right? And so what I had to really learn and grow beyond was, first of all, that even in that, there was a value, because I have a saying that sometimes these boulders in our lives aren't coming to destroy us. They're coming to destroy the things that we have been allowing to hold us back. So for example, when my focus was on a blame, what it really was saying to myself, to the universe, if you're spiritual, or to God, if you're religious, what I really was saying is, I am not going to forgive this, because I am going to give this horrible person or this horrible experience, this horrible thing, so much power that I will never, ever allow it to heal.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep. You're keeping it first and foremost, and you're, that's your whole focus. There's no room for anything else.
Exactly. And it what it would create was a path in the road where the one path leads to. I define my significance by that wound. Mm-hmm. And as I suffered, I realized that I could focus on the suffering and the pain would grow.
Yeah.
Or I could focus on the lesson, the clues, the opportunity that could bestow upon me, and I could grow. And so fortunately, it inspired me to quest, to read, to learn, to be open, and to even just consider that the resilience that I was getting so much practice with was making me more of who I had the potential to be. So therefore, this, as they say, wasn't my first rodeo, of heartache and disappointment when I got that call. And fortunately, I was able, you know, a few weeks later, I was actually literally sitting in the little cathedral area of the Miami hospital when it struck me, oh my goodness, those things that had been so unforgivable, they fit into the spider web, right? They fit, because if I had known and if I hadn't experienced the exact emotions and such excruciating pain, I never would have gone looking for a new way to choose to live. And I would not be sitting here as the mother that my child needed right now. So my message here is that our stories are kind of a duality, an important critical duality, I think. There are those moments that rejuvenate us, that are so victorious, that they take our breath away. There are others that are so painful that they knock the wind out of us. But even though the moments that are so exhilarating are far more wonderful, often when we learn the most, it's those moments that initially feel like pain, because I really believe that some of our greatest gifts, I've seen it in my life, I've seen it in my clients, originally arrive disguised like a great challenge. Life, and rather than, again, pointing blame, to start learning to be more along the lines of the dialogue, okay, yes, and so now what? How does that give me a unique edge in creating my own masterpiece, my own epic story? It's the belief that we certainly don't get to choose how long we live on this planet and some of the experiences that we have while we're here, but we certainly get to choose how epically we play while we're living here, and what we're going to focus on, and what we're going to make these items of focus mean. And that comes down to our inner narrative, how we show up, not just for other people, but in the silence of our own bedrooms. Are we are our souls the soul mate that we've been yearning for? Are we really using our minds as our superhero power, or are we deciding that we're just destined? It is what it is. Our minds are destined to show up as our own worst enemy. I don't believe that's inevitable.
Right. It almost sounds like you create your own kryptonite, so to speak.
Yes.
That you're the one putting the block there that doesn't allow you to move forward. And what do you do? I mean, what would be a simple first step to understand where you're at and how to make that first change?
So when I'm working with my clients, one of the first things that typically we do is first really begin to understand how our minds actually work. And to really appreciate certain subtleties that we don't always connect. For example, most of us have had the experience of having a song get stuck in our minds, right? And and often it's not even the entire song, nor is it a song that we even always like. And yet we've learned that this is just something that our mind does, and it doesn't happen when we're really focused on something or we're very deliberate, we're telling our mind what to think. It's usually the moments when we're vacuuming or doing something that our mind just chimes in and goes, oh, okay, let's make sure that Meredith is thinking about something. Here you go. It's a small world. Hope this helps, right? And I may turn around and go, oh my gosh, I don't like It's a Small World. And I don't even like Justin Bieber necessarily, but there it is. But I don't go running to my loved ones and go, oh my God, we've got to get me help. I'm being taken over by the ghost of Justin Bieber, right? I've learned that if I just don't get bent out of shape and I just keep going, keep focusing on something, it will just kind of filter away and float away. So clearly our mind's objective, and no one really knows us better than our own minds, right? So our minds, if its objective was to only feed us things that were good for us or that would please us, that would make us feel energized, it could certainly get the frickin' songs right. But therefore, that can't be the objective. It's not unlike a jukebox. It's just like, keep the music coming, keep the music coming, right? And so if we understand that it's very normal for our minds, if we're not telling it what to think, our minds are going to go back in its own jukebox and they're going to grab a song that we've heard over and over and over again and pop it into our minds, even if it's not something that is necessarily going to help us or that we're going to like. Well, if we appreciate that, why on earth is it logical to think that if we're not telling our minds something deliberate to think, that it's going to go back in there, except one of the quote unquote recordings it's going to pick is dialogue that we've heard over and over and over again. However, unlike the Justin Bieber song, there is no melody to alert us, hey guys, this is just a Justin Bieber song. You don't really have to pay attention to it. Just wanted to give you something for your airwaves. Oh no, there's no music. So therefore, we hear it. It makes us feel terrible. And for some crazy reason, we think we have to focus on it and get to the bottom of it, give it weight and consider it. And eventually, maybe sometimes we think that's just the way I'm wired. It's part of who I am. Mm-hmm. Right. And so as we can begin to understand basics like that and go, wait a minute, what if a lot of this dialogue is one, because I haven't really deliberately even considered that I have the authority to be the sovereign of my thoughts. I actually have a right to determine what I consume and what I consider important, much as I do my meals. There's no way I would get off an exit on the highway and feel compelled to consume food from every single fast food restaurant. And yet I feel compelled to listen to everything that's said my way. What's wrong with that? Right. So as we begin to start to look very clearly at some of those concepts, then we can move to the next step where we can start to appreciate it's not only where we are in our lives, it's reconnecting with who we are. And yes, our stories can have what felt very painful at the time. The flip side is that pain can create the current that pushes us beyond that, that can now prime us to do some extraordinary, epic things with that. And so it really is a process of reconnecting with something as basic as who I am, which means what do I love? What do I love doing? Not what other people tell me I should be doing. But do I even know? Sometimes we get so focused on achieving or the world out there or pleasing all these people that we can't even give someone a list of 15 things that we're passionate about, right? We peter out around five. Yeah. And then we go into skills, and especially women can have a really tough time owning certain skills because it feels arrogant. And it feels like, wait a minute, my significance comes from how much I can sacrifice, not from how great I am. And so to really start to embrace just the soft power of knowing that you are skilled, you are worthy, you are more than enough, that kind of thing. And then to really begin to make peace and embrace the power behind your experiences. To understand your must-haves. What have you learned? Where from where you stand right now, what must you have in your life, the positive triggers that help make it easier for you to show up as that epic version of yourself? Yes, I get the negative triggers, but do you know what your positive triggers are? And do you take ownership of making sure that as many of those as possible are in your life on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually basis? You owe that to yourself. And then what are your nice ifs? What are the dreams that are so big that you'd almost be embarrassed to share them? And by even just verbalizing them, saying them, you communicate to your soul, you know what? It sounds far-fetched, but I believe if anyone could achieve it, you can. And our story's not over yet.
Right, right. Yeah, and you think about the fact that innately we have the ability to to take control back of what we're thinking. And I have to laugh because you're talking about this Justin Bieber song. And here I am. I'm in this elevator listening to really tacky music going, why? But, you know, it's reclaiming the fact that you have this power. And like you were saying, the superhero image and pulling back on that and saying, you know what, I'm not going to be subjecting myself to this anymore, and really being focused on what is important and taking back that control, I guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's an acronym that I play with my clients that's ACT, because people are very obsessed with wanting to make sure, well, what's one action I can take? And ironically enough, for some of us, it takes a while to realize, wait a minute, the toughest action, quote unquote, the most impactful action that I can take is often action in the inner game. And so ACT, the A stands for, can you be aware of your present tense statements, for example, because present tense statements tend to be the programming code for our subconscious. They're symptoms of what we believe is truth with all capital letters in our world, in our life experience. The ultimate thing when we say, well, you can't argue with this or you can't change it, we say it is what it is, right? So to be able to become aware of our present tense statements, that's the A. C is actually to celebrate when we catch ourselves saying something that doesn't really feel like it energizes us, and to commit to changing that. And then T is to realize that the power of transformation is as simple as making a different choice. And so the way that this translates into just how important our language is, and not simply the language that other people hear, but the language within our own minds, is absolutely critical. Because, for example, a lot of people on a regular basis, certainly people who are coming to me because they are ready to get out of their own way and you know, really fall in love with their life again, do epic things, virtually every single one of them comes to me and says, Meredith, my biggest challenge is blah, 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 blah. And they fill in the blank without realizing the wall of impossibility and self-sabotage that they've already sown in that one little grouping of words. And yet our mind has to believe it in order to get behind it. And so clearly in that moment, they really believe my biggest challenge is. But the flaw in the thinking there is that they're assuming that that is the only variation of truth. Mm-hmm. So the moment I'm able to kind of start working with them on the language and say, okay, that's true. However, would you say that the following is true? Well, my biggest focus right now is figuring out a way that I can feel more confident and show up feeling like I belong there, right? Is that true? Well, yeah, that is true. How about this? My biggest commitment right now is finding a way to get more confident, go out there, walk into a room saying, you are going to be so glad that I have arrived here, right? And they'll be like, yeah, that's true. Which feels better? Which creates a momentum for you? And do all of these feel true? And when you think about it, yeah, they all feel true. Moments ago, was stuck on the only variation of truth was, oh my God, I have this big freaking challenge. So what's interesting that I found is that as people can really start playing with their language, with the words, and even switching out, for example, using the word like challenge all the time. Well, the problem is, or this is the way it's always been, when people can take challenge and like, well, what I'm really excited about, or the biggest opportunity for me would be, or even if we're talking about, I haven't achieved this, I'm so bummed because I haven't achieved this, playing with the words temporary, playing with the word yet, right? That can be a game changer. And that alone, if you take a look at your language, that can start to move the needle in incredible ways.
I like that. Yes. Finish your sentence and then you put yet at the end of it. Yep. Totally changes the vibe. It changes the whole feeling of that question or that thought, because now you've taken the pressure off.
Exactly. Exactly. And I even had a trainer at one point at a program that I was at who said, add at an end of a statement that makes you feel heavy, add, and that's freaking awesome. Right. And it confuses your mind. And I was like, yeah, it does. I like that. I like that. And what if it is freaking awesome? Right. What am I assuming here that is not necessarily true? Right. That it's not freaking awesome. Well, what if it is?
I like that. That really does shake you up. That'll get you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, this is such, all this, it's that thing. It always makes so much sense. But then when you start applying it, that's when you like, this is simple stuff. I mean, like you said, even this most recent thing about putting yet or that's freaking awesome at the end of something, even if you just started doing that, just to shake it up, to challenge yourself to think about things a little bit differently.
Yes.
That's going to open up so many doors for you.
For sure. For sure. And going back to language a little bit and just spinning off from what you just said, I just had a quarterly epic planathon with a group of women, and we went over 5 of the biggest mistakes that sometimes we can make when we're quote unquote setting goals for ourselves. And goals, by the way, is not a word that I love to jump behind, but just because most people understand what that is, I'm using that now. But one of the big ways that we get in our own way is because we constantly, whether we vocalize it out loud or whether we think it, we think, oh, but it's going to be hard. Right?
Yes.
So I would just say, consider for a moment when your belief around something, when you understand the significance of something, how quickly your behavior can change. So couple of cases in point. One, when I became the caregiver for Skylar, some of my behaviors had to immediately shift and change. Was it hard? Define hard. I just did it. Same mm-hmm. thing even with COVID, as an example. I mean, in one month, the idea of getting an entire globe of humanity to shift their beliefs about how important it is to be able to go out and go walk around and walk around without a mask and all this kind of stuff, regardless of what side of the fence you're on COVID, what happened was within a matter of weeks, entire global communities shifted their belief and said, well, maybe I can stay indoors for 4 weeks or mm-hmm. 2 months or whatever. And they, all of a sudden, they were now sometimes arguing for the opposite, saying, no, you have to do this. It's critical that you do this. So when you commit to something, commitment is key. When you commit to something, and it's quite frankly easy to commit to something when you feel like it's in your best interest and when you understand it. Mm-hmm. I think part of it is that we're just not trained to believe that, one, we have the authority to be the sovereign of our own mind. And then what does that mean? How do we implement that? When we can lovingly be patient with ourselves as we reboot, recalibrate, hopefully get some help, it's much easier when someone else can help you. Like for example, that my biggest challenge is, you know, virtually everybody was stuck. No, this is truth. This is gospel truth. I mean, you can't get around it. It took having someone else, in that case me, say, okay, I hear you. Mm-hmm. That is true. And your mind believes that. But can your mind also believe that your biggest commitment right now is getting beyond that? Right. And absolutely they could, but they never would have come up with that on their own. So I think that's one reason why we're all so valuable, sharing our stories, sharing, creating podcasts like this. I think why it's just, it can really accelerate how quickly we grow into that more epic version of ourselves, and how much more fully we get to the point where when we're 62 years old, we can say, I love my life more now than I did when I was in my 30s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think about there's a pivot point that happens. And so getting out of your own way, learning to finish your sentences and thoughts with yet, or something to distract you, to take you off your normal thought process, realizing that you have the ability to change the song that's playing in your head, and all these little pieces, that's what makes the difference. That's how you go from suffering to seeing everything in a different light and living that epic life.
Agreed. And it's, again, I think part of the magic is understanding how all the beautiful parts work together. We're not looking for coping skills. We're honestly looking for, why are we in so much need of coping skills right now? It's mm-hmm. not the boulder falling on Skylar, right? It's what I was making that boulder falling on Skylar mean mm-hmm. in her life, in my life, that would require that I need coping skills per se. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So you're taking the experience of what triggered all this out of the mix and actually just looking at how you're thinking about it. Yeah. I'm trying to think of a better way to explain that, but I do get what you're saying.
Yeah. And so it's basically the question of really goes back to, if we can ask ourselves a question, are we in control of how we experience our life, or is what we are experiencing controlling us? And if you change who you show up being, will it change what you end up seeing in your life? And can you control your ability to tap into that epic version of yourself who is then capable of perhaps achieving those impossible results, even in a world of 1,000 reasons and millions of people who will tell you that it can't be done? And one of the things that I really believe is that we're not trying to get to the bottom of it. We're trying to get beyond those things that keep us at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
right? And we are really, I believe, these epic beings who are having this crazy, amazing human experience. And this is what allows us, invites us to grow and expand and to interact with each other and to create a world where things that were non-existent the day before become the next generation's new normal. It's magical.
You're magical. Thank you so much for all this incredible, so much to think about, but it's intriguing and exciting to think that this is possible. This mm-hmm. is something possible. And, you know, as much as we can get stuck somewhere, there's a way to get unstuck. And I love the whole presentation. The way you've explained all this is very motivating.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I just really appreciate you having me here on your wonderful podcast. Yay. As you sail through your own post-hurricane challenges. And and I do have a little bit of a gift for your listeners, just because I have seen over and over and over again how important it is to understand, even if it's 10 phrases, that you commit to no longer using. You are going to transform these 10 phrases. It will begin to change your life, because I've seen it with my own life, but I've seen it with my clients, whether it's the individuals or the teams. And so I put them all together in a little downloadable PDF. So it's super simple to navigate. And if you really are at a point where you're like, something has to change, I have to start getting out of my own way, and I want to start somewhere, I would encourage you to go to bit.ly bit.ly/epicwords. So bit.ly/epic, spelled E-P-I-C, words, W-O-R-D-S, bit.ly/epicwords. And all you have to do is tell us where to send it. We'll get this to you via email. Okay. And of course, feel free to follow me on social media, reach out, share your own epic stories. I always love to hear them.
This has been epic. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been wonderful. I appreciate you being here. And like I said, sharing your journey, it has been really quite the journey. And, you know, as far as anything with sailing through life, you mentioned, how would you describe how you sail through life? What has been the most important thing you've learned on your journey?
I would say the most important thing by far is the analogy that you have created in this sailing through life, is that sometimes it can feel like we're in a very windy part. We've got hurricanes, cyclones, heavy winds coming our way. And yet without the wind, we would not be able to sail. And so it really is that duality, and to come to peace where we can realize that as we look back at what we have experienced, and instead of beating ourselves up, give ourselves credit for having been pretty freaking awesome, for having done the best that we did, and that it was pretty heroic, even if we had to make some sacrifices and make some choices that felt like they weren't easy. Because now we have the opportunity, we're bigger, bolder versions of ourselves, thanks to having weathered those winds. And that it really is that duality, those moments, like I said earlier, that are so beautiful, they take your breath away, coupled with those real intense learning moments where the wind's knocked out of you, that you really discover that epic version that you're capable of being. So it's loving the bothness.
Yes. Love it. Love it. Love it. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And I really appreciate your time today. And thank you for the wonderful gift. We'll make sure everybody has access to that as well. So thank you again.
Well, it's been totally my pleasure. And keep sailing, my dear. You're doing amazing things.
Meredith shared her daughter Skylar's tragic accident and all the emotions that she had about feeling unprepared and unworthy of being her mom. Reality hit when she asked herself what the worst of her horrible emotions was. She realized that it was feeling powerless to help her daughter, and she decided to start playing the inner game like she had never played before. She committed to authentically asking new questions and finding thoughts that would help her inch her way from despair to a place of calm and even happiness. As a result, Skylar experienced medically impossible recoveries, and Meredith came to believe that when one commits to becoming their best self, they can achieve things that previously felt impossible. Remember to start using all the great tips she gave you today to get out of your own way and to act. Be aware, celebrate, and transform. Go to MeredithAlexander.com to connect with Meredith. I'll also link her free gift for your Epic Words download in the episode description. I would love to grow this caring support community. If you or someone you care about would like to share their experience or know of an organization to help, even just one person, connect with me. Visit sailingthroughlifepodcast.com and tell me what you love about the show. Stay anchored. Chat with you next time.